which is completely devastating and incredibly harrowing. Also, at the same time, the call out by the Gaza's health ministry continue to be met with deaf ears. Unfortunately, there has been no progress in allowing more medical personnel, more medical supplies to the north of the Gaza Strip. Unfortunately, they continue dealing with an overwhelming number of casualties on a very daily basis as Israeli quadcopters carry on shooting civilians dead all across the north of Gaza, which makes the death toll, which takes it very numerous time, making it reach more numbers and more numbers being killed on a very daily basis. Also, at the same time, moving to central Gaza here, the Al-Malghazi refugee camp, Israeli tanks have been mercilessly pounding the eastern outskirts of Al-Malghazi refugee camp since the early morning, particularly in the northeast part, in the northeastern parts of the camp. Moving to the southernmost part of the strip in Rafah, two people were killed and five were injured. All were transferred to the European hospital in Khan Yunis after Israeli drones targeted them in the streets. They were just going outside to get some water and some food as the famine continues and carries on hitting the entirety of the population. Unfortunately, there has been no aid allowed into the strip. People are still having just the bare minimum to continue to resist living under the most hellish circumstances, which is that people unfortunately don't have anything and they continue without food, without water, and news that a possible low pressure front is going to head the territory in the coming few days has just caused a great deal of panic for thousands of people displaced and trapped in tents and unprotected shelters. More than 1,400 people have been killed in the north for the past 30 days since the start of the Israeli invasion on October the 6th. So unfortunately, just more people are being killed every single day across all the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, it continues to be a very, very sad situation overall. Thank you so much for reporting. That's Abu Bakr Abed in Darabala. Meanwhile, Israel informs the United Nations that it has ended its 1967 agreement recognizing Palestinian Refugee Agency, UNRWA. Now, this comes after Israeli Parliament, or Knesset, banned UNRWA from operating in the occupied Palestinian territories. The regime has accused employees of the UN agency of taking part in last year's Al-Aqsa flood operation without providing any evidence. UNRWA has warned that Israel's ban on its operations would lead to the collapse of humanitarian work in the besieged Gaza Strip. The UN Security Council has also expressed grave concern over Israel's decision, calling on the regime to abide by its international obligations. More than 6 million Palestinians across Gaza, the West Bank, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria are dependent on the UN agency for their livelihood. It also helps them with education and health services. The Palestinians are reeling from raids by both Israeli settlers and military forces across the occupied West Bank. Settler gangs have stormed Birra near Ramallah, setting fire to Palestinian property and vehicles. Footage from the incident showed several charred cars and building walls where vehicles were torched by settlers. Meanwhile, the Israeli military has raided several areas across the West Bank. The troops abducted at least three more Palestinian youth during the incursions. They also ransacked several homes in a village in Al-Khalil governorate. Israel has intensified its violence against Palestinians since the regime began its onslaught on Gaza a year ago. Since then, regime's forces have killed nearly 770 Palestinians and abducted at least 11,500 others in the West Bank. Earlier, we talked to our correspondent in Ramallah, Naka Hamed, and she says the incident in Birra was unprecedented, as no such settler attack this deep inside Palestinian neighborhoods had ever been recorded before.
Settlers from a nearby settlement attacked Albira city, burning down 20 Palestinian cars and 2 residential buildings. Fortunately, no human losses were recorded, and many incidents followed the operation of the burning, of setting the flames to these properties, as when other nearby Palestinians tried to come to put out the fire, they were faced with a shooting of live ammunition against them. And when the staff of the PRCS, which is the Palestinian Red Crescent Society, ambulances tried to reach to the area where the settlers were attacking the Palestinians, they were faced with direct shooting. As eyewitnesses have told us, the attack was unprecedented. It is not the first time that the settlers attack Albira and the surrounding areas of Albira, but it is the first time that the settlers reach into the Palestinian neighborhoods inside, deep inside a Palestinian neighborhood this deep. Since the last 13 months, since the beginning of the genocidal war in Gaza, the settlers' attacks have increased tremendously. We are talking about more than 2,000 attacks in the last year. Those the ones that were documented, not to mention the ones that that Palestinians did not report.
Meanwhile, the Israeli regime presses ahead with its deadly raids on Lebanon, targeting the country's hospitals and medical centers. Israeli military carried out a raid on the vicinity of a hospital in the southern town of Tebnan, causing severe damage and injuring at least 10 civilians. Another hospital in the eastern city of Baalbek, which was crowded with patients, was also struck and sustained damage. Meanwhile, an Israeli raid on the town of Mashkara in western Baqa killed 5 people and injured 3 others. The southern town of Bazouria also witnessed a raid that killed at least 2 paramedics there. Now, according to a previous statement by the WHO, at least 85 Lebanese health workers have been killed and dozens of others wounded since late September. According to the Lebanese Health Ministry, over 2,900 people have been killed and 13,000 others injured since the start of the Israeli aggression against Lebanon in October of last year. Our correspondent, Mariam Saleh, joined us from Lebanon's southern city of Sidon earlier and gave us an update about the latest Israeli aggression.
Well, we are in Sidon, or Saida, as it is known here in Lebanon. This is considered the gate of South Lebanon. This is one of the first cities that comes right after Beirut as you enter towards South Lebanon. Of course, here, this is an area which houses tens of thousands, at least, of people who were displaced from the deeper south trying to take refuge. And despite that, we still see the Israelis striking this area in various different instances. The strikes is just one of the examples of the Israeli strikes here on residential buildings, and how the destruction has caused, of course, although it is only on the first floor, but of course many of the people who were living in that building specifically had to leave and had to evacuate. And even in the surrounding buildings, although we know that people, when they first came from South Lebanon, there were many apartments that were open for the displaced, even for free, and so they remained here until this strike just several days ago. There were several damages also on the vehicles that are in the surroundings. Some vehicles were also burnt completely. And this is just one of at least 3 other strikes. We learned that there were, in one of the strikes which we visited just earlier, there were at least 3 martyrs and 5 injured. And it seemed that they were all civilians. There was a woman who was going there to check on her apartment with her son, their 13-year-old son. She was killed.
The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has carried out fresh retaliatory operations against Israeli military positions and in defense of Lebanese civilians. After issuing warnings, Hezbollah targeted several northern settlements, including Dalton and an area surveillance unit at the Mehran base. More than 50 rockets have been reportedly launched towards Upper Galilee, and the occupied city of Safat has also been targeted. Earlier, the group's air defense unit forced an Israeli Hermes 900 drone to flee Lebanon's airspace over the Iqlim al-Tufa region. Hezbollah's missile barrages also hit, for the first time, the Haifa Technical Base, which is used to train regime's air force technicians. Hezbollah carried out several more operations, targeting Israeli soldiers in a number of settlements across the occupied territories. Meanwhile, people in Gaza and Lebanon have expressed their skepticism for the upcoming U.S. presidential election. Now, they say regardless of who wins the election, Washington's stance on Israel's regional violence will not change. They have also slammed President Joe Biden for his support for regime's war crimes.
The American elections will not affect the war in any way and will not have an impact. It may affect the American voter, but not the Palestinian citizen in the Gaza Strip in particular. The Americans are a partner in the war on Gaza and in the extermination of children, women, and the elderly in Gaza.
We want any American president, whether it's Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, any one of them, to relieve people from this calamity they are experiencing. People live in nylon tents, which do not protect from winter or heat. And the situation is very bad. We appeal to the American president who will come, because with the current president Joe Biden, there is no benefit from him to solve the issue in the Gaza Strip and solve the people's misfortunes.
Israel is America and America is Israel. Since every president has been subservient to Israel, there is no doubt that they have been different from each other. For us, historically, the world has been betting that this American president is better than that one. They are all worse than each other.
The elections taking place in America now has nothing to do with Lebanon. In my opinion, in order to solve the problem in Lebanon, the foreign involvement must stop. Let them be on their own and elect a president, a clean parliament, a clean government, and so on. But the fact that the Lebanese conflict is linked to America is definitely not correct.
Pro-Palestinian protesters have taken to the streets in Japan and Germany to condemn the Israeli regime's deadly war on Gaza and Lebanon. Japanese protesters marched in the capital, Tokyo, slamming their government's military exercises with the United States, which has been the main supplier of arms and money to Israel. They also voiced their anger over some Japanese firms sending weapons to Tel Aviv. Meanwhile, people in the German city of Munich took to the streets to call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Waving Palestinian and Lebanese flags, they held anti-Israel banners and condemned their government for hosting the, quote, Israeli war criminals. During a similar rally in Paris, the French spokesperson, the International Federation of Journalists, voiced her anger at the regime's killing of journalists. She further slammed the regime for arresting dozens of journalists while preventing the media from entering Gaza so that it can, quote, kill without witnesses. Parisians held pictures of the journalists killed by the Israeli regime. Since the start of the genocidal war last year, 183 journalists have been killed in Gaza alone, exceeding double the annual figure around the world. At least a dozen more have also been killed in Lebanon since then. Naval forces of Iran and the Republic of Azerbaijan have wrapped up joint exercises in the Caspian Sea, codename Azerex 2024.
These drills were aimed at increasing the level of cooperation between the naval units of the two countries to prevent maritime accidents, collaboration in search and rescue operations, reducing the operation time to rescue vessels in need, paving the way for promoting maritime trade and combating environmental pollution. In fact, in these maneuvers we sought further cooperation and coordination to create a safe environment for the development of maritime trade.
Razavi said the drills successfully achieved their intended goals. He stressed that the exercises show the determination of the Iranian Navy to ensure maritime security in cooperation with other Caspian Sea littoral states. The flotilla admiral said regional states can fully provide maritime security, and the presence of trans-regional countries in this sea under any pretext is unacceptable and intolerable. The Northern Fleet of the Iranian Navy hosted the two-day drills in Bandar Anzali. Two Azerbaijani vessels joined the Iranian destroyer Delaman for aid and rescue exercises. The joint maneuvers were themed cooperation for peace and friendship.
And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website at iranradio.ir. Log on to our website at iranradio.ir.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime's strategy in the region is backed by the U.S., which has provided unconditional support for Israel during its genocide of the Palestinian people, particularly in Gaza, and now for its military offensive in Lebanon. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Israel is embarking on a maximum pressure strategy in Lebanon as it has done in Gaza, hoping that it will succeed in forcing a surrender by the resistance in the former, where it has failed in the latter. According to Amos Harel, an analyst for Israel's Haaretz newspaper, That country's intensive air strikes in Lebanon looks like a pressure campaign to impose a speedy agreement. The Zionist media reported recently that a senior Israeli security official told the families of Israelis being held captive in Gaza that the military will be fighting in Lebanon for another 2 or 3 weeks with the goal to reach a diplomatic agreement with Hezbollah that would allow Israel to secure a hostage deal. The strategy is backed by the U.S., which has provided unconditional support for the Zionist regime during its genocide of the Palestinian people, particularly in Gaza, and now for its military offensive in Lebanon. U.S. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller admitted during a press briefing recently that we've never wanted to see a diplomatic resolution with Hamas, saying that the U.S. was committed to the destruction of the Palestinian resistance group. There is little reason to think that the U.S. would like to see anything besides a total capitulation of Hezbollah as the result of any supposed diplomacy process to bring quiet to Israel's so-called Northern Front. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, made a historic speech recently, part of it directed towards the Palestinian and Lebanese people and delivered in Arabic. But it also delivered a clear message to Tel Aviv regime and Washington that there will be no defeat of Hamas and Hezbollah. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said that the regional resistance will not back down after the martyrdom of its leaders. Unbowed by Prime Minister child killer Benjamin Netanyahu's thinly veiled, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei asserted that Israel is in its most precarious position since its establishment. Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, the surprise attack by Hamas on October 7, 2023, and the year of resistance in Gaza and Lebanon that followed has brought the usurping entity to the point where its main concern is to preserve its existence, the leader said. The Zionist regime has tried to delink its southern and northern fronts by assassinating Nasrallah and several other founding commanders of Hezbollah. The Lebanese resistance group has vowed to keep firing missiles and drones towards Israel until it ends its attacks in Gaza. Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, who met with Lebanese leaders in Beirut recently, said Tehran supported efforts for a ceasefire in Lebanon on condition it would be backed by Hezbollah and simultaneous with a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei's speech, a rare Friday sermon delivered in public at the Imam Khomeini Grand Musalla Mosque in central Tehran, should leave little doubt that Iran will not back down from its key role in the regional resistance. Iran fired a massive barrage of ballistic missiles at the Zionist entity, forcing the majority of Israel's population to seek safety in bomb shelters, as military bases were hit in the center of the country in retaliation for the strikes that killed Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei emphasized that countries in the region have a shared interest in defeating the threat posed by Israel, the common enemy of the Palestinian, Lebanese, Iranian, Yemeni, and Syrian peoples. Unity would lead to the defeat of all enemies, the leader said, and Iran would fulfill its duties with resolve. Acting with neither hesitation nor haste, Iran will do what is logical, reasonable, and correct, he said. In the meantime, the Electronic Intifada wrote at least 29 Palestinians were martyred in Israeli regime airstrikes across Gaza. The UN Human Rights Office called on the Zionist regime to immediately end the pattern of strikes in Gaza on buildings acting as shelters for displaced Palestinians. The UN office said such attacks have become an almost daily event, with at least 6 schools hit in the previous 72 hours, resulting in tens of fatalities, including women and children. The UN stated, in September alone, our office recorded at least 14 schools struck in Gaza by the Israeli military, and in August, one school attack every other day. Such blatant violations of the laws of war normalized over the past year in Gaza, during which time nearly 42,000 Palestinians in the territory are confirmed to have been killed, are now being perpetrated by Israel in Lebanon. More than 3 dozen people were killed and 151 injured in the 24 hours prior, the Lebanese government said recently, bringing the total number of fatalities in the country to more than 2,000. More than 100 children had been killed in Lebanon over the past week and a half, the UN Children's Agency UNICEF said. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said recently that it remains concerned about the safety and well-being of civilians as Lebanon experiences a surge in air strikes and displacement orders. The Zionist regime targeted the Masna border crossing between Syria and Lebanon, a major axis for relief supplies coming into the country and used by families fleeing to Syria in search of safety, according to OCHA. This group added, it is imperative that all civilians be allowed to flee to safer areas and that they be protected whether they stay or leave. At least 4 hospitals in Lebanon suspended work due to Israeli regime attacks, the AFP news agency reported recently. Also recently, Imran Reza, the UN's humanitarian coordinator in Lebanon, said at least 73 health workers had lost their lives in escalated attacks in southern Lebanon, adding, in the past 24 hours, 28 health workers have been killed, underscoring the alarming escalation of violence and its devastating impact on those providing life-saving care. Recently, the Zionist regime bombed a relief center in the central Beirut in another dangerous escalation, resulting in the death of paramedics, civil defense and relief officers who were actively assisting displaced and affected communities. Reza said such attacks are serious violations of international humanitarian law, undermining humanitarian efforts and threatening the safety of those providing life-saving assistance.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of remembrance of God or dhikrullah, and we are getting our inspiration with regards to this topic from the sermon number 222. And in this sermon, Imam Ali alayhi salam quotes a verse of the Quran which is to do with dhikrullah or the remembrance of God, whereby he talks about people who continuously and constantly remember God and are not oblivious of him. And then we discussed, therefore, as an offshoot of that discussion, that what is dhikrullah, what is remembrance of God? And we say that is attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then came the discussion about the quantity and the quality of remembrance of Allah and how to balance between them. And we discussed about quality in terms of what do we mean by quality of dhikr. And we say that we explained the different levels of the quality of dhikr. And to a certain degree, we had an idea of what it means to perform dhikr with a higher level of intensity and attention. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
Now, the idea of the quality of dhikr, whereby, you know, there are different levels of attention a person can have, from a very, very simple attention to a more profound and intense attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are different levels. The highest of levels is when a person recognizes that whatever he has and what he is or she is and their whole essence is purely and purely from God, or rather it belongs to God, right? And therefore anything good that he has and everything that he conceives of himself as his is actually God's. These are levels, right? And of course, you know, intellectually speaking, we are nothing ourselves apart from the attention that God has on us. You see, recognizing this levels, recognizing this issue itself is a higher level of dhikr, but not with the mind, as I said, but with the whole of the essence, just like a person, you know, recognizes hunger and all those other feelings that a person has. You know, this level of remembering God, whereby a person intensely recognizes that he himself is nothing in front of God, and therefore God is the one that is maintaining him, that is taking care of him, that is giving his existence. This attention to God sometimes can be so intense that a person doesn't have any attention to other than God, and other than this idea, than this reality. His attention is fully and fully towards God, and therefore he becomes oblivious of other things apart from God. Everything else becomes obscured, and he only pays attention to God, such that we've noticed that Imam Ali alayhi salam, once he was praying salah, and there was an arrow stuck to his leg, and they removed the arrow, and he did not even flinch because of the intense attention he had towards God. You see, this is now this very high level of intense attention. These are the levels, these are the qualities. This is what we call the quality of remembrance of God. But then there is also the issue of quantity that inshallah we shall delve upon today.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in collecting and organizing the speeches and teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has solidified his place in Islamic history as a key figure in preserving and dissemination of this timeless masterpiece. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio. Now, when we come to the quality of attention, the quantity of the dhikr of Allah, we notice that we have got narrations that say that we need to remember Allah every time, at every state, sleeping, standing, walking, right? Different times of the day. This is something that has been encouraged in the riwayat. Such that in one of the narrations, Nabi Musa alayhi salam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there are certain times where he feels embarrassed and shy when to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there are times that a human being, as we have this, we have an animal dimension, a physical dimension, whereby we have certain needs like food, like water, like going to the washroom, or for example, releasing waste, or for example, we have the need of a spouse and we have a need to do certain actions, with the spouse. Whatever these actions are, whatever they are, we are told in the narrations that we should be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of these states. Now, Nabi Musa alayhi salam says that there are certain states where I would feel embarrassed to remember you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies and says, no, you should remember Allah in all of these states, all of them. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the answer. He says, فَإِنَّ ذِكْرِي حَسَنٌ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. Because remembering me is good at every state. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
مرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
Although leaders of the resistance movements across the region have achieved the highest status of martyrdom in the Zionist regime's assaults, the resistance and liberation movements can never be decimated by any aggressor. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Kahan International Roads, it is rightly said that leaders of revolutionary, resistance and liberation movements are mortals with a specified lifespan, and after all their heroic struggles, they may die, either natural death or achievement of martyrdom. But the grassroots organizations they lead for defense of their faith, homeland and humanitarian values can never be decimated by any aggressor. Examples gather all over the world, in Asia, in Africa, in Europe, and the Americas, where countries continue to tread the path of the persons to whom they owe freedom from the tyranny of the powerful empires that have long vanished. In our own Islamic culture, which is rich with the legacy of leaders who sacrificed their life, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, towers as the supreme symbol of resistance whose path we proudly tread. For the past millennium and four centuries, the immortal martyr of Karbala, whose blood and that of his family and friends triumphed over naked swords to cast into the dustbin of history, a despicable tyrant, has continued to inspire us to greater heights in every age and place. The victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979 and its spectacular success over the past 4.5 decades in the face of the intricate terrorism of the U.S. is indebted to the movement of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and so also the emergence of the Hezbollah in Lebanon in 1982 and its resistance in defeating the devilish plots of Zionism. The Palestinian liberation movements, Hamas and Islamic Jihad, have also embraced the legacy of the Prophet's grandson, whose teachings have molded Iraqis and Yemenis, along with Syria, into formidable members of the Axis of Resistance. This historic development has opened the door of opportunity for the people of all parts of the Arabian Peninsula, as well as of Jordan, Egypt, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Turkey, and other nations of Asia and Africa, to join ranks for the defense of Muslims and Islamic sanctities. Even the conscientious non-Muslim people in Europe, the Americas, and other parts of the world, including the Christians, the real Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, and Sikhs have been shocked at the brutality of the crimes against humanity of the Zionist regime with the weapons and wealth of the U.S. This is the reason they are rallying in their respective countries for end of the genocide in Gaza and prevention of the intended genocide in Lebanon, as well as the sinister plot to expand the theater of war to Syria, Iraq, and Iran. The U.S. Zionist assumption is that the targeted killing of senior officials of Hamas and Hezbollah have decapitated these anti-terrorist movements, and now is the chance to inflame other parts of the region in pursuit of the satanic goal of creating Greater Israel, from the River Nile in Egypt to the River Euphrates on the Iraq-Iran border. The recently aborted Israeli aerial attack on some places in Iran and the threats of the war criminals in Tel Aviv to target with brutal force the Islamic Republic's industrial and economic installations falls in this same terroristic framework. The onus is now on Tehran to deliver the telling blow to these devilish designs in coordination with the rest of the Axis of Resistance to show that the indomitable spirit of the revolutionary movements is alive and all set for the liberation of Palestine from the banks of the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea. This is indeed the most deserving gift for the souls of the martyrs who were victims of the illegitimate Zionist entity, whose eventual fate is elimination from the map of West Asia region.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 31 meters, 9650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and welcome to this Hadith of the Day. From Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we have a beautiful Hadith in which he says, كُونُوا لَنَا زَيْنَا وَلَا تَكُونُوا عَلَيْنَا شَيْنَا. Be our adornment, our decoration, something that we can be proud of. And do not be a source of shame for us, something that would be like humiliate us, embarrass us. Especially at the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, you know that there were different schools of thought. Not all the people followed Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. There were so many people who looked at the followers and the disciples and the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and say, okay, look at this one, look at this one. You know, if they had a bad behavior, they would say, oh, but, you know, this is the follower of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Of course, they wouldn't say Imam. So, for example, I remember that Ibn Abi al-Awja, one of the figures who were like an atheist, when one of the students or companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam went to debate with him over a topic, and he was so kind of furious, he got furious. He said, but your imam is not like you. When we talk to him, when we have a debate, he remains calm. He remains calm and peaceful, as if, you know, we think that he has accepted our idea and argument, but he has not. And at the end, he brings counter arguments, and he refuses, and you know, he denies what we said in a peaceful manner, in a very logical, peaceful manner. So you're not like him. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, or our dear followers, the Shia, the true Muslims, be an adornment to us. Do not embarrass us with your actions. So especially when it comes to the word Shia, Shia means a follower, a true follower, someone who follows the legacy and the like the tradition of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, not only claiming that. Claim is claim, it's just words, it's just like air. But what, you know, action speaks much better and much stronger than words. So let us be men of action. And in there are many numerous hadiths that tell us the same thing, that we should be good Shia. For example, in another occasion, Imam Sadr alayhi salam, I guess, he saw, yeah, Imam Sadr alayhi salam, he met a Shia named Shaqrani or Shaqrani doing something. And Imam Sadr alayhi salam told him, you know, what is good is better from you. When you do it, it is better. Because you are like attributed to us, you are related to us. And whatever is bad, if you do it, it's worse because you are related to us. So our brothers and sisters, you know, you're related to Ahlul Bayt, you're related to the Holy Prophet, you're related to Islam, you're like a representative of them. Be careful in that regard, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing a sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Student Day, also known as the Day Against Global Arrogance in Iran, has been commemorated throughout the country on Sunday. Many students have taken part in the rallies, reaffirming their support for a strong and independent Iran. And though it has been 45 years since Iranian students took over the American embassy in Tehran, due to its interference in that time, the new revolution, these young people seem to be as adamant as those who have come before them to want their country not to be subservient to global arrogance. I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Out of London, Chairman of Islamic Human Rights Commission, Masood Shajadeh. And out of Houston, activist and commentator, Mohsen Naqvi.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
thank you both for being with me. Welcome to the program. I'm going to start it off with Masoud. Your perspective, I mean, it's been 45 years since, of course, that incident that took place when the Iranian students took over the American embassy. There have been some since that time, even inside of this country, who say that that was a mistake. Perhaps that put us on the wrong road with the United States.